Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by
law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school. Like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It.
Cut To It. Cut To It. Let's get down to it. Cut To It.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on. If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's on. It's on.
My uncle Phil used to tell me, literally, I got an uncle named Phil, Philip Spears, it was my grandfather's brother. He used to tell me all the time, the smartest men in the world know what they don't know. Like, and you can't be so immature not to acknowledge that. Like, man, listen, bro, I've spent the last 4 years with Dan Orlovsky. I've learned more about quarterback play in the last 4 years than I did my entire career in the NFL, because that's his area of expertise.
And walk us through what you've learned and give Dan some credit. Yeah. You've learned over what he's given you.
Yeah.
Because people do look at Dan, and you could tell him I said this, because Dan's text someone that's text me to tell, hey, Dan said, stay off such and such. But, you know, the quarterbacks, but I'm on the quarterbacks a lot because they get paid so much money. I've said this. We had Doug Williams on, and I asked him, you won't hire a receiver that can't catch. You won't keep a running back that can't hit the hole. You damn sure won't let a left tackle who can't block stay. But, yeah, you'll give a quarterback a bonus. You extend him for being an I. And then he goes, well, let's talk about just backups, right? And I go, oh, goodness, talk about backups. You allow a backup who you hope, let's be honest, you pray that backup never, ever, 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 ever plays.
Unless he Nick Foles.
Right? So tell us about Dan, what he's taught you and why.
Yeah.
Why has that been so good, and what exactly, just big up Dan and just what he's done for you.
Well, one thing, man, is, you know, we never sit in I never sat in a quarterback meeting. So to hear some of the verbiage that go on, how those meetings are conducted, and then too, just like quarterback play from a, you know, Smitty, like you were talking about Tyreek Hill, crayon routes and all of that. I didn't know how important it was to marry your feet with your upper body.
Yeah.
To have your shoulder pointing to your target.
Yeah, you don't play golf, huh?
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's golf right broad, there. That's why a lot of the quarterbacks are extremely well golfers.
Right, because of that. So a lot of the technique with it, right? A lot of the things that they have to see prior to a ball being snapped that is either going to help their team or put their team in the worst possible situation they can be in.
You want to steal a line? You want me to give you a line to use? Quarterbacks must confirm where they're going with the ball before they snap, before not discovering. If you're discovering and you're that wide receiver, that's bad news.
We wanted you to be that way. I'm speaking as a defensive player.
Yep.
We wanted you to be that way. We did, like, what we talk about with Peyton. And what we talk about with Tom is that they know where you're going before you know where
you're
going.
Sometimes they're telling you the line, hey, shift over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, big fella, if you don't move, we gonna run right there. but I'd have been there before with Peyton. Like, bro, first year in Baltimore, Peyton threw 6 touchdowns on us when I was with the Ravens. And me and Terrell Suggs, Sizzle, was sitting on the bench. Sizzle said, man, ain't nothing we can do. We called Dean Pease, who was our D coordinator, who said, Dean, he know everything we doing. Dean said, Dean said, best of luck to y'all.
Hey, you talking to Dean is with the defense coordinator. He's in Atlanta right now with Arthur Smith.
Best of luck to you.
Dean,
figure that shit out.
Hey, Dean was in Baltimore too. Dean will tell you, hey, well, all we can do is blitz him.
All we can do is.
Thanks, coach.
Or you come in the offense or the defense, they say, hey, offense, we need some help from you.
Yep. Reality, bro. So I think a lot of it, man, a lot of it is just seeing the picture through a guy that was behind center. And honestly, like when I'm on set, like even with Ryan Clark, RC, the secondary play. Now I had a great idea of that because when I was at LSU, we did a lot of zone pressure.
Yeah.
So I had to understand coverages. I had to understand where dudes would be, where my flat area was, where my drop hooks was, all of that type of stuff. But just like seeing it from a safety who played downhill, like what it's like when Marvin Harrison running a crosser and you know that you can't run with it.
Yeah.
Like what's the technique to try to intercept him, not the ball, just to get him on the ground.
That's a giggle when he running past you.
Right? So it just it's a lot of stuff, man. And I think that's why for me, like being around different guys, like and to your point, different levels of expertise. Louis Riddick was in the front office.
I know Louis is awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like his job depended on getting the right guys, making sure that the talent he was seeing aligned with what they was going to do when they got to that team or he was out of there.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot, bro. It's a lot, man. Even Mina Kimes, and I know people get crazy. Bro, I have the amount of film and breakdown and time that Mina puts into understanding football and really knowing by talking to players. If you ever with Mina Kimes around the NFL, like people, watch how many players show her respect.
I met her at, this is the first time I got to meet her. We were at the combine and I said, it was great meeting you. I love what you do and your respect. And she came and gave me that look like, yeah, sure you do. Right.
Because she know who you are.
But here's the problem.
No, as far as a great player.
But here's the problem. I don't hand out those compliments to everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times I see a lot of people on television. I don't think they're great. I don't think they do a good job. I think sometimes they're lazy, right? Yeah. And the reason I know is because there are times I've been lazy where I know I'm going to be on a show where maybe my football knowledge is not required as much. They desire the storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the storyteller. I like the storyteller in like this setting where we can mixture football and the storytelling amplifies the conversation, but not where the storytelling and it minimizes the football knowledge because the people that are getting paid to represent and talk about football actually don't know any football. So I try to, so sometimes I'm just kind of like, I don't want to do that one.
I don't go that far. I just listen to the people I think know what the hell they talking about.
Well, I like to watch everybody because it gives me a sense, right? And it's so much sports out there that I also stay out of it because you can get inundated. You can go down a wormhole.
Yeah.
A false,
yeah,
false. It like I mean,
you can find some alternative facts.
Yeah, you start getting you get a post for 16 seconds that people are following you. 1.5 million people view a 16 second post because I'm in a New York Giants coaching staff and say, hey, I'm going to coach, and oh, it must be real.
Yeah,
and it happens every summer. So happens every summer.
For both of y'all being in the sports media game, mm-hmm. what has changed that you're a fan of? Mm-hmm. And then what would you like to see change?
I'm a fan of players having a voice and their own platforms. I like that.
I do too.
Because when Smitty can attest, when we was in the league, you only got what you gave a soundbite of.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing with Draymond and his podcast right now after games, and he's not playing well. That he not muted because he didn't play a good basketball game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, now you could get into what he doing, spending his time. I don't care about that. That's a grown man.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I understand the other side is that, you know, people watching that, watching you play in the finals, and they
– it's important.
Yeah, they quote-unquote had this expectation of what you should be doing when you're not playing, living your life. And I run into issues with that, but that's for a whole other podcast when we get into it. But ultimately, for me, man, I like players having a voice. I like when they say stuff because you get to know how they really thinking.
Yeah, that's the other part too.
Yeah,
it does give you a peek into who they are.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
and the one thing I do love about podcasts that I love to listen to is how they transition. The transition tells you how they're thinking
from the game to the podcast, or just in the conversations.
A great example: Tariq Hill or Cheetah. I listened to it, how he transitioned, what he said, how he said it, his eyes, his attire, right? He's wearing his jersey with a suit. He's trying to fix it and figure it out, and he's utilizing his stuff. The only advice I would give him is when he's no longer, can he sustain it, and can he, does he give himself an opportunity, and does he give himself an opportunity like we are, where people are engaged and there's enough things to discuss and it's organic.
Yep.
And that's my only thing is he's hot right now.
Yep.
But at some point, will you be able to, my coach, she always tells me, Jill Montgomery, right? Shout out to Jill. Make it about the other person.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the only thing, right?
But Smitty, even you though, like, right? Like I heard JJ Redick say something that was intriguing to me. Y'all know I love basketball, man. I love talking about it. But he talked about Steph's competitive stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I done accomplished all this, bro. I can walk away from the game as one of the top 75 players ever in the history of the NBA. That's why I have a tremendous amount of respect for LeBron, tremendous amount of respect for you, Smitty. A career where you continue to elevate, but in the off season you approach it like you starving,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, and sometimes that don't translate to being a Hall of Fame or a great player. No. I worked my ass off in the off season. Like I approached every off season like I had to earn a job
because
I
you
never
did.
Went in saying, right? I never went in saying I'm a first round pick. I'm a have this. They gonna no. I got to earn this job every single year. And some dudes don't. Some dudes
they don't have to
the stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They like the stuff. It ain't they run out of the energy to continue to prepare and get ready. But for me, like to your point, having an inside view of how these guys not only operate when they balling, because we could see that. They got footage of that. But like, you know, what's important to them? What kind of stuff are they saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could see the 30-second minute and a half workout clips, but is it translating to what we see when you play on Sunday
mm-hmm.
or what we see when you playing on the court. So I just like that. I like that they have a voice because for me, it says you can't lie to me through sound bites.
Mm-hmm. And so that leads me to the one thing I dislike about working in media is former players have to, when we break news, they have to verify it.
Yeah.
But other media people who are not former players, there's no verification required.
Go with it.
Yes. And that's the one thing. And as a former player, I dislike there's a few things I dislike. One of the other biggest things I dislike is beat writers who give a false security, a false sense to the fans that they actually do know the players they're covering, because they don't. Like, not every beat writer actually has a really good relationship or understanding of that individual. They sometimes only know that individual for the 15 or 20 minutes of open locker room based off if they even speak to them. Mm-hmm. They may see someone and say, oh, he's always upset. Sometimes maybe they just have that resting face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his demeanor.
That's his demeanor. Yep. And they go, oh, he's always angry. But have you ever spoke to him?
Yeah.
Right? And then they go to, well, I have to write the article based on, like, my 80-year-old grandmother is reading it, meaning I have to state all the bad things, not the good things, all the bad things to tell you how we got to today. And a lot of beat writers, a lot of fans think, oh, you know, I'm using you as an example. Gerard Littlejohn has a great relationship with all of the Carolina Panthers players here. So when he writes this article, he must have talked to several people. He's may talk to one scout who may have a axe to grind or a reason to talk about that individual. So there's a false narrative of that they're all close. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you an example. Let me tell you what I hate. All right, and it just happened. I hated this Devontae Aaron Rodgers thing. Mm. All right. Bro, it's common sense for Devontae Adams not to want to be in Green Bay. He don't know if it's the quarterback coming back. But I said it on television and I'm hating you when you just don't like Aaron Rodgers. No. If me and Smitty go in the business together, and every damn summer he telling me, man, I'm about to bow out. I'm going to sell my half. I'm going to sell my share. And an opportunity comes along for me to have stability. And I've been on this roller coaster with Smitty. I probably should take that stable situation.
And then you get to go in business with your best friend that you
with your boy, with your, exactly.
that you grew up with. Y'all play high school and
so,
college.
So I had a big issue with the whole it's fine. They love each other. They hug when he threw his 100th touchdown. And look, bro, a lot of NFL relationships and locker rooms are necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It ain't real
circumstantial.
Brothers. Circumstantial. It ain't real friendships. It ain't real brothers. We cool. We go along to get along at times. And sometimes we just flat out don't like some of our teammates.
Yeah,
that's the reality.
Yeah.
So that's the part that bothers me about some of the media now, is that it's either because of the success that they see and happen in a 3-hour window, they assume that this alliance and brotherhood just exists.
Yeah.
Like, we doing dinner together. Bro, majority of NFL players go home to their family and don't talk to their teammates.
Say it ain't
until the next day.
Are you serious?
I know, dudes, but yeah, man. Like, but at the, you know, some to your point, man, sometimes it's this false narrative that it's just this one structured way to have success. Like, if a team win a championship, everybody's on the same page. That's a lie. No, they ain't.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing their jobs.
Here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. Man, that Baltimore Ravens team, when they won the Super Bowl, it was anarchy.
It was beef.
Hey, it was like inmates was about to overtake the prison.
Bro, listen,
I'm not even going to get into it, but I'm
neither.
Just...
I'm going to let them tell that story.
I just know it was bananas what I heard. Mm-hmm. But yet, when I got to Baltimore, we had some issues. Oh, it's just like such and such year. The inmates got... And I was like, what?
Yeah, man.
And I heard some stuff. I was like, wowzers.
Wow.
And that just lets you know...
Well, I had a good time. Let me say this. I had a good time in Baltimore because I was stealing checks. Really all that invested. I wanted a two-gap play first, second down, get 3 or 4 tackles a game, and then let the young bucks come in and get all that pass rushing and all that out their system. So I had a great time.
I went
downtown, Smitty, after games, and we got at the the Ritz, and we would sit there at the bar and enjoy ourselves. And not for 1 minute of that season when I was in Baltimore did I think I need to come out here and I need to be a great superstar player. Not one time. I just wanted to do my job and get my check and get the hell out of there when the season was over. And the Lord be knowing what we need, because they cut me week 8 and Smitty, the next day I was back in Dallas at my house.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you think about retirement would be?
Yeah.
And then now you're retired. What has it been?
I thought retirement would be, I want to just do whatever I want to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No schedule. I just want to, I fish and hunt. I'm a country boy. I fish and hunt. I thought that's what I was going to be doing and following my kids around, because I figured they'd be athletes. My wife played in the WNBA. So we knew our kids was going to be athletes in some capacity.
Mm.
But then not realizing, man, I think a lot of players, I went through like 2.5-3 weeks of depression.
Hmm.
I didn't know how to define it at the time.
Yep.
But my wife was like, "Hey, I think you need to go talk to somebody." For real, bro. But seriously, like, and I thought about it, man, after talking to a therapist, I thought about it from the age of 6 until I was 31. I knew what my year was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I knew football season was coming, basketball season. And then when you get to the pros, you know how structured we are.
Mm-hmm.
We got our times during the year where we decide to do what we do. And then when it's gone, and that's what I tell everybody, bro, they don't throw no parade. They don't throw, like, there is no exit program that you go through to get you ready for quote unquote normal civilian life. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones ain't called me one time to check on me to see how I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just one of them things where I went through that phase. And then what I realized is, and retirement's so damn overrated, bro, I got to have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to have something to do. I got to have a purpose outside of my main purpose, which is to love my wife, take care of my kids, and let the Lord lead me mm-hmm. where I need to be. But from a work standpoint, doing what I'm doing in television now, I tell people all the time, bro, the reason why I have a great time is because this job is still not real to me.
Hmm.
Like, I can't believe you can make this much money talking about football. Like, that, I never equated potentially making more in a television career than I did in my football career.
Hmm.
I never thought that was like something that was possible. And then the other part, man, is like, I like structure. As much as I've been probably said all my life, I want to be where I want to be. I don't want nobody telling me where I need to go. I do like having a calendar. I do like having things that I want to get accomplished, but also having a job structure of, look, you're going to be doing this between September and February, mm-hmm. right? And you got combine and you got the Super Bowl and you got the Pro Bowl. And then to all of the experiences that TV has afforded me as well. Smitty, I met you in Charlotte because of television.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was working at SEC Network at the time.
Yep.
So it's a lot of that, man. So I've enjoyed not only having, you know, being able to work at ESPN and, you know, ascending and having success in this arena, but also like the stuff that what I tell people all the time is the knowns for me should be the knowns. I'm never going to sacrifice time with my wife or my kids when it doesn't need to be for any job. Cause I don't have to, right? Like the good Lord gave me a long career, took care of my money, and I'm fine. But I also do value my responsibility to my job and to my coworkers who depend on me to do what I do. So that to balance both of those things and still be able to live within those and give the proper amount of time and attention that they need is something that I enjoy doing. So the retirement thing is overrated to me, bro. And honestly, where I'm from, my mom lives with me, has been living with me since I started playing in the league. And she told me when I was young, but tells me now, like most people die when they retire. And they don't have a purpose to Correct. Be living for. So I plan on working, you know, as long as I can, bro, as long as they keep making these direct deposits, I'm gonna keep grinding.
I can tell you what's really interesting, man. Just had a, I don't want to say epiphany, but I had a thought. You know, we go to Central up in Charlotte, and Loran was killing it, right? And he was just talking about community, and he's just talking about before the Lord comes, and something has happened with my wife. Family, and they just got some her parents are getting older. My wife is the youngest of seven. And so, you know, with her being the youngest of seven, we have a niece, we got nieces and nephews that are like 2 years younger than us. My wife's sister-in-law, God rest her soul, is literally like a year the same age as my mother. Right? And my wife's Angie, her oldest brother, 60, soon to be 61. And he's still working and grinding. And until I actually connected the dots, right, I was just going, wow. It's been a blessing that at 43, sometimes I got to decide on to take off my plate.
Yeah.
And this, you know, my brother at 61 is just trying to, he's just trying to maintain.
Maintain, yep. Right?
And it's just such a different dynamic that in playing football is, you know, we talk about a lot on the podcast. G's from North Carolina, is from Lexington. And there are parts of him that I get jealous of because you grew up here in close proximity, but I didn't. I never, very rarely, I would never run into anybody that I went to high school with here.
That you know,
I know. Yeah. I never run into somebody that knows me from back when I was little Steve-on. They only know me from football. They don't know me from when I'm still hungry, but when my stomach was growling. Right. When I had stomach pains.
Yeah.
But yet I live here. My kids, like my oldest son, roommates with his best friend from high school. He went to Walford. He went to Georgia. And now they're living here. And he's complaining and talking about figuring out, you know, the prices of renting here in Charlotte. Should I buy? And just all of those things that I've never had the advantage of experiencing.
Yeah. Right. Well, tell them wait till the interest rates go down.
But one of the cool things is football has afforded us the opportunity to look at life as such a different perspective.
Yeah.
But we still deal with the same things.
Same stuff.
Are we good enough? How long will it take for them to find out that maybe we are declining? Right? Or maybe we weren't as sharp as we used to be. Or maybe the promotion they gave us, they realized the new responsibilities are a little bit more than we can handle.
Yep.
Right? And, yep. And
I explained to your point, bro. My sister is a police officer. And
God bless her.
Yeah, man.
Right. That's a tough job.
You know, especially having a black female police officer with everything that's transpired in this country. And I know every day, bro, she goes to work to try to make a difference positively. Mm. Right. And but you know, obviously, like us, she gets lumped into the negativity of the job as well. And, you know, we've had a million discussions about, you know, she's like, you played a game and you made this, and I'm trying to protect and serve, and I make this. And I'm like, the key is, like, how do you deal with them? Mm-hmm. And I get so tired of money being the answer for people that, like, don't complain. Don't have, like, it ain't that serious. Dude, it's the same. It's all relative.
Yeah.
To what you go through, what you deal with. My grandmother passed 3 years ago, really close with her. I ain't think about my bank account one time. My mom got sick, had COVID. I ain't think about my bank account one time. Like, real life, bro, don't give a damn what you got. Mm-mm. Or who you are, what you done accomplished, or what you done. So it just hit home hearing you talk about that, Smitty, because a lot of times, even in this job, right? Like, I'm more quote unquote famous now because I'm visible. I don't have a helmet on. Like, I'm more recognizable. People see me, talk to me when I'm out. And you know, I love having real rich conversations about, look, bro, it's relative.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I get to enjoy some things that most people can't.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I get to travel certain ways. I get to do certain things. But when like the crux of life, ultimately, we all going through the same thing.
Well, it's funny as my kids, my oldest, who's, well, not my oldest, my 17-year-old Boston, who's very much like me. I got four kids, but there's two that just like their daddy. And some days that's good. Some days my wife goes, she calls us the triplets, right? And sometimes my 17-year-old, he'll say like me, he go, And he finally said something. I was depositing a check for one of my businesses. And I told him to hold this. I didn't say hold it to look at it, but hold it because I was reaching in the drive-thru. And he looked at it. He goes, you be talking about we ain't got no money, right? And I realized, probably about a year and a half ago, I realized even though I played as long as I played and saved my money, I still operate as if I'm broke.
Yes, Lord. Hey, the worst thing, bro, my kids, I tell them all the time. And we were talking about being poor earlier. And I still believe that a lot of the values when we didn't have much are the reason why I am what I am today.
Parenting or living out of fear of what you experience as a young man.
Bro, you don't want to go back.
Yeah. you don't want to live above your means either. That's just
exactly.
Just
but once you get to a certain point, right, you don't want to go back to that because you start realizing how effed up it was in certain situations.
Yeah.
Like the naivety of being young and poor and your
it's
parents.
Bliss. It's kind of bliss a little bit.
It's bliss. Like yeah. Parents operating in this median that they've been in for so long that it's normal to them.
Yep.
and that becomes your normal, and then you reach a certain level and you see different, and you telling me I gotta go, bro, I gotta go back to South Baton Rouge with a 1.5-bedroom house and share it with my sister, and my mama come in sometimes and be like, do y'all want the lights or the water this month? Like, I don't want to go back to that. I learned some valuable lessons from that, that helps me, to your point, not get to the point where I'm like, man, I'm finna go splurge and be outlandish, but also like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah,
I won't go back because I've experienced things that, you know, that lets me know that is not as enjoyable as I thought it was. Yeah. But those lessons were more valuable probably than anything I've learned since I attained a level of wealth.
The only thing that I have for me that's always been a place that I, you know, have money is wanting to see the world.
Yeah.
And taking my family with me to see it. Like,
yep.
That's one thing that I personally have to be careful of, because sometimes I'm always like, that's a 16-hour flight. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Right. Yep. But she's like, that's not realistic. Right. And so it's like, because I have so much hunger to see the world, because I know that there's so many people who haven't.
Right.
And I also know what I have learned and how my eyes have, like, when I started traveling and investing, I found myself, this is TMI, I was using a bathroom in Israel and learned who Kimberly Clark was. Do you know who Kimberly Clark is?
The only thing I know is a manufacturer of, like, paper products.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm from North Carolina.
Exactly. Right? But
C-L-A-R-K-E.
I didn't know. So I text at the time, I washed my hands after, I text my guy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nasty.
I know. I text my guy and was like, hey, we need to get some Kimberly Clark stock. He's like, where'd that come from? Well, I connected the dots. I was like, wow, I'm all the way in Israel and they make stuff here? Wow. And it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was Nestle.
Yeah. I mean, right? Similar to what Marcus was saying. Like, the big Kimberly Clark plant was up from where I grew up in Lexington. So that is one of those.
Just learn something. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's one of the big employers. So you either go to Kimberly Clark, you either go to LFI, or you go to Dixie. And if you don't, even if you work in one of those factories, and if not, then you either on the streets or you hoping that you're gonna make it out. So
But that just kind of ties into, we all have our ignorance, right? The true essence of ignorance, lack of knowledge.
Yep.
And some of the things that I've learned about myself, discovered about myself, have been in those times where I'm sitting either in a different country or somewhere on a trip by myself asking myself, what did I learn?
Yeah.
Or what don't I know? And it's been a lot of times, it's a hell of a lot of stuff. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just maturing to that, bro. I swear to God, bro. I'm just maturing to because I'm fascinated with hearing you say that, because I've just learned how important it is to, like, experience outside of the things that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all act like we know what it feel like, right? We could read, and I just. Like, as I've gotten older, I've started to read a lot more. Was not a fan of reading growing up. But that's something from a maturation that I've started to do, because I haven't had those experiences of going to a lot of places outside of the U.S., outside of the normal Jamaicas and Cabo and all of that stuff. But books have opened me up to the knowledge of those places. And now I'm like, man, I need to go see what I just read about.
Yeah, that's good.
I need to go, you know, examine what I just read about. I watched this documentary on Netflix called High on the Hog. Mm-hmm. And it's about the historical, like the cuisine and the historical story of Black cooking and chefs and the origination of it. And man, this dude went to Sierra Leone. He went to, and just had those experiences. And I told my wife, I said, babe, we gotta do something different. And fortunately, bro, we're not like a lavish family. My kids are, because they, you know, they look at all of that. But we ain't. My one vice is shoes. I'm a buyer of shoes. I love tennis shoes. Yeah. That's like my one thing that I do. But I, to your point, man, like I envy well-traveled, world-traveled people, and not in a negative way. I'd be like, man, I gotta go there. Tell me why I need to go there.
Cut through it. Cut through it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As much as you're traveling, like me, you know, going get the, what is it, Afar, that book, I get that. I actually get that subscription to the house, okay. And then I throw it in my bag. And so when I'm on the airplane, I'm just reading, right? I see that, check it off, and then just try. I love travel books. I got this other book that someone gave me for my birthday a long time ago, and it tells you, based on the month, where to go.
Ah.
And so there's some places in there I'm like, I didn't even know, right? Yeah, but man. It's not that I love to travel to brag. I talk about traveling a lot on here is because I've learned so much about so many different things. And I've had to sit and look at myself and go, you didn't know that. Why?
Smitty, to your point, man, I just probably... 4 months ago, I finished the autobiography of Malcolm X. And the part in that book, to me, like of all the lessons that were being taught in that book and listening to Malcolm X's journey and all of that, the trip to Mecca that changed his perception of the entire world.
Yep.
Right. And it's not something that's highlighted when we talk about Malcolm X.
Absolutely. Yep.
They don't talk about the shift.
And why the shift?
That was made about his different connection to people of all nationalities and races. Yeah. And man, when I got to that part and I thought about all of the things that had transpired leading up to that, with what he went through with the Nation of Islam, and for what he preached about white devils and the white man and all of the things that was attributed to Malcolm X in one trip,
changed
one journey. And he knew what he was going for, but still to pray with people of different nationalities, skin color, and realize like humanity is way bigger than what's going on in America.
That's exactly 2006, growing up in LA, someone that helped raise me was talking about LA was primarily, you know, obviously Latino. and they had billboards in my side of town where it was, you know, it was in English and Spanish. And I remember someone saying, if you're in our country, you need to speak our language. And so I find myself, I went on a mission trip to Togo Lomé, which is a French colony. And on the way back, I got an opportunity to stop in Paris. And I had time, I had to go through all this stuff anyway. And I went to Nigeria as well, which is a English colony. And so I had to do all this stuff to get my passport because I never had a passport. Didn't need one. Never thought I'd go anywhere.
Yep.
And I remember that. So I was in Paris and, you know, just a ninja. You know, what you gonna do? Let's go to the mall.
Go to the mall.
Right? I'm all the way in Paris and all I want to do is go to the mall. Yeah. So I go, I'm trying to find out how to go to the mall. Have no idea how to get around. And so I try to talk to a few people and, you know, you speak French. No. And I'm looking at them and I remember the individual who said it, who I respect to this day, said, and I replayed that individual's, it was my grandpa. My grandpa said, if you're in our country, you need to speak our language. And my grandpa had, in my head, my grandpa said, when you're in our country, you need to speak their language. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm in their country, and I have no idea how to speak their language.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt so ashamed. And then I realized how small we are in America. We're a financial powerhouse, but yet there's so many other countries, continents that have been around longer than us.
Yeah.
And after that, I saw how ignorant I was, how I thought America was the standard. And ever since then, I've been wanting to see the world.
Yeah,
because
man.
I know I'm in their country and I don't speak their language.
It's and, I want to
adapt. I know I'm still figuring out this English thing, but I want to see. And one of the biggest things when I was a kid, you know, growing up in LA, reading Anne Frank, I want to see. And I've been to Poland, but I want to see in Denmark the museum that they have of her house because of what I just remember, the oppression of what I remember of that as a kid.
Yeah.
That's challenged me to see so many parts of the world and to take my family, because I'm learning at 43 and 35 what the world looks like. But my kids at 7, 24, yeah. 21, and 17, they know exactly the way the world looks. And it's lot different.
Let me get this popping, man, because I got to get ready. My kids, man, speaking of knowledge and people that I talk to, you know, when and I'm not an excuses guy. I understand that things happen, circumstances happen that you can't get stuff done. But I tell my kids all the time, man, and hopefully it registers to them as they get older and older and listening and talking to you guys, which has been amazing, bro. I tell people all the time, Nelson Mandela spent 2 decades in prison and became president. Mm. Why can't you do what you're trying to do?
Mm. That's real.
Right. Like. And that's the example that I use when I'm even in my head about, like, damn, I'm tired, man. I can't, like, I need to take a couple of days off. Bro, Mandela spent 2 decades digging rocks and became the president and ended apartheid.
Right. Yep. I was going to say, and the reason why behind it, too.
Yeah.
But exactly.
I mean, we know we got to let you go, man. We know you got to get ready for NFL Live, man. Hey, make sure you go check out Marcus M. Spears 96 on Twitter. At mspear96 on Instagram. Brother, it's been a pleasure having you.
It's been
all,
awesome.
Man.
Hey, tell Mina and Dan, I actually respect them.
Done deal.
I really do. And
all right.
And tell
Willie Mack, when we get to end it for nationals in volleyball with our daughters, don't be walking around because he know Long Beach good.
Yeah.
All right. Tell him that.
Hey, and then smack Ryan upside the head for me.
I got you.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, brothers.
All right, man. All
right.
See
you. Peace.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.